Praise God. Well, we've got an important thing happening this week. You're going to get something in your letterbox in a few days. In the next 3 or 4 days, you'll have something in your letterbox. You'll receive a little postal vote in your letterbox. And we've already been talking about our voting no and why we should vote no. We've still got these brochures at the front. There's still some there if you want to take some of those, if you want to even distribute some of those. There's also a letter here from, there's been copies at the door there. Our national chairman of our movement, of the CRC, Pastor Bill Vassilakis, has written a letter about just homosexuality and how we can relate and minister to homosexuals and talking about that generally. It's a very good letter, and so I encourage you to have a look at that. It's very useful. And so I just want to spend some time just really praying for that vote that is coming up. It's interesting, in the UK, where they actually have that. People think, oh, it's this so-called equality. It's nothing to do with equality for a start, but what's happened in the UK is certainly what we don't want to see happening here in the UK. For example, parents now do not have any right about what their children are taught at school, so if they're taught from the age of three, they're taught about gender fluidity. You can choose to be a boy or girl from a three-year-old. They're actually teaching the children there. Parents have no right to say anything. They cannot object to it. And don't think that's not going to happen here if this vote gets through. You've got university students in their papers. They have to write papers as a part of their studies. If they use the word he or she instead of the gender-neutral Z-E, they actually lose a lot of marks on their assignments. That's how crazy it is. People are losing their jobs all over England if they do not get along on board with this agenda. It's a very insidious thing, and it's not just a matter of whether we're going to let the 0.026% of our population that are living in those relationships who actually want to get married, get them married. It's far greater agenda than that. In fact, the person who invented the safe schools thing, which I'm sure you're aware of, who is a well-known pedophile, the agenda of that is to get the gay lobby supporting that, and eventually they want to bring that in as well. And I'm not just saying that to scaremonger. That's actually the person who started safe schools, who was a well-known pedophile, and that is an agenda. It's a far bigger issue that we're facing, and so we want every believer to stand up and make a stand against what is happening. So I want us to stand. Let's make a stand by standing. The best thing you can do is when you get this in your letterbox is to say no. The good news is that they're surveying now, and the support for yes is actually dropping. They're actually concerned because even those who feel yes are saying only 65% are actually saying they're going to turn up. Now, they're saying that now, trying to rally people to vote yes, but we're going to vote no in the name of Jesus Christ. We prayed that we'd have the right to say no. And we praise God that the Lord granted us that. But let's just pray that this thing would be crushed, because it's an assault on Christianity, it's an assault on freedom of religion, it's an assault in so many ways in our community. It's social engineering of an unprecedented scale, and we want to stand against it in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's stand. Father, we just stand now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know what this thing is. Lord, we see, Lord, it's far beyond, Lord, and even these people, Lord, that are in their own lives, Lord, are suffering all sorts of things, Father. But Lord, we just see, Lord, this has been, there's an insidious demonic thing that is behind this, Lord, that is an assault upon Christianity. It's an assault on family. It's an assault on our freedoms, Father. And we just come against that in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we just see such a groundswell, Father, the silent majority will rise up, Lord, with one voice and say, no, no marriage is as God ordained between a man and a woman. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, there'll be a resounding no, Lord, and not just a close no, Lord, not just a 50-50 result, Lord, but, Lord, a resounding no, Father. We just pray, Lord, that people will stand up and say, no, this is what marriage is. It's between man and a woman as God ordained. And so, Father, we just stand in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. I pray, Lord, that everyone will have the courage to stand upon the biblical mandate of what marriage is, Father. Lord, as believers, Lord, that we will stay. But Lord, not only will we put our vote in and say no, but Father, we're going to be praying, Father. Lord, this is a spiritual battle, Lord, that we need to fight. Lord, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And so we stand in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that your will be done here, Father, that this thing will be crushed in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, that people have the courage to say no in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just pray for that in Jesus' name, Lord, that there will be a resounding no. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just remind you too, we are doing our 30 days of fire. As a part of the 30 days of fire, we're having prayer meetings. There's a Tuesday prayer meeting at 7 a.m., so you can come there and get off in time to work. There's a Thursday prayer meeting at 9 a.m. There's a Friday night prayer meeting, which goes from 7 to 9. But this week is a special one. It's going from 7 to 11 this Friday night. This Sunday afternoon, there's a prayer meeting from 4 to 5 in Digger's Rest. And so if you haven't been praying, you haven't been a part of that, can I encourage you to do that? I was going to make a few comments in my messages, but my heart is, and our heart is an oversight. We want everyone to be on fire. And look, in Christianity, there's only three type of Christians. There's people that are on fire for God. There's people that are lukewarm, or there's people that are cold. You know, it says in Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold, because there's consequences. Revelation chapter 3, it talks about people being lukewarm. You just sort of sit on the fence, you know, just mediocre, half-hearted, not really there, you know, just sort of there but not really there. They're the ones the Lord says, I will vomit out of my mouth. But he actually very positive in that. He says, but there's still time to repent. There's still time. You can buy from me like silver refined in fire. You can do that. So there can be a turning of hearts. And so my prayer is that we're all going to be on fire for God. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning, about being a firebrand, about being a firebrand for the Lord. You know, at the moment, there's some, you know, this hurricane that's bearing down there on Florida and coming down there. It's already wiped out some of those islands, St. Martin, and a few of those small islands. Total devastation there. We've had earthquakes recently, amazing the things that are happening. And our hearts go out to these people that devastated. I mean, these people now have dispossessed one island. 95% of all the buildings were wiped out. 95% were wiped out. And so you've got people that don't have any homes, people that are struggling, so they don't have any shelter. People are struggling to get food. People are struggling to get water. They've got no electricity and a whole lot of basic needs that they have, that they can't have those met at the moment. And we have all those needs too. We praise God that we have those needs at the moment. We've all got shelter, you've got food, you've got water, we've got electricity, although who knows what will happen in summer once we keep shutting down all our power plants without replacing them with anything. But anyway, we've at least got those things now. We have all of that. But there's actually some deeper human needs that we have, that every one of us has as a person. There's some deep-seated needs within our heart. One of those needs is that heart to be loved. There's just a desperate cry of our heart. We just want to be loved. We want to be accepted. And really, ultimately, we're only going to find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that within him. We find that within our Father in heaven. And we find that also within the sense of our brothers and sisters within our Christian family. So we have that need for love and acceptance, a sense of belonging, being a part of something. And we are a part of something. We're a part of the family of God. And so there is that need. There's that need to feel secure, that the sense that we feel safe. And in the loving arms of our Father in heaven, that's the only place where we really will feel safe. But there's other needs that we also have within our life. And one of those needs, another important need, is the need for us to make a difference, to have some sense of significance in our life. So that when our life is over, when we've passed through this earth, and we all will, it's not just a matter of, okay, well, I made it to heaven, amen. It's what I did here, what I did, what did I cause here? What was different in this world because of me? What was touched in this world because of me? But more than that, what was touched for eternity because of me? Because we're here all to make a difference, and that's a cry within our heart. And I want to speak to us about being a firebrand, who's someone who actually makes a difference, not just in this world, but makes a difference for eternity. We talk about a firebrand. Now, a firebrand is just a flaming torch, is basically what it is. It's a bit of wood and maybe being dipped in oil. It's got some maybe things wrapped around it, but this thing that's burning. It could be a burning stick snatched from the fire, a firebrand. A firebrand is a person who is passionate about a particular cause. And if we are going to be firebrands, and we want to be passionate about the cause of the gospel. But that's not enough just to be passionate about it. If you're a firebrand, if we're passionate about the things of the gospel, about the kingdom of God, then we're going to ignite something, incite something in other people's lives. We cause that to happen. It says a person who's passionate about a particular cause, typically inciting change and taking radical action. So it's passionate, inciting change and taking radical action. That's what a firebrand is defined as. This is one who influences others. And that's what God is causing us to rise up to be, a generation of firebrands, not people living in the same old mediocrity of life. God has caused us and calling us to be people that are on fire for him, that we might be firebrands that actually go around igniting things around us and actually causing change and actually outworking things within our life to actually make a difference in our lives. That's what God is calling us to. God wants us to raise up a generation. And there's the story of Samson, who the Philistines were oppressing the children of Israel, Samson went and he caught 300 foxes. You try catching one fox, but just do that 300 times. He caught 300 foxes. He got the 300 foxes. He got them together, put them in pairs, and then he put flaming firebrands in between their, tied their tails together with a flaming firebrand between their tails, and then he set off all these foxes, all running off with these flaming torches, running around, and totally destroyed all of the crops, everything that the enemy had done. And he's raising up a generation even now that we will be like firebrands that God wants to send forth. And whatever the enemy's territory is, just to destroy every work of the enemy and to stand up as the people of God who are going to actually make a difference in this world. You don't want to get to the end of your life and look back upon your life and think, well, I had a good job and I had a good house and I had a good car and I had, my kids turned out pretty good, and that's great. But far more than that are we called to make a difference. Good people in the world do those things. Non-Christians, and there are good people that are non-Christians, who don't beat their wives, who don't lie and cheat and steal. They're decent people who aren't Christians. Believe it or not, they're decent people. And they do those things. And yet you're a Christian, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a believer. We are called to do something far more than just to be a good person, to have a good home and to have a good job and to love our family. And everyone, as unbelievers, do that. We're called to make a difference. We're called to be a firebrand, to do something in this life. And there's that deep need within our hearts. You don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for same old, same old. Do something in this world. Make a difference. Be a firebrand. Be on fire for the Lord. And I want to talk about being a firebrand who actually does something, who actually is on fire, zealous, passionate for the Lord, but incites something in others and actually does some radical action, actually makes a difference in this world. Have a look at your life up until this point. Now, some of you are younger and your life is just brimming with every possibility. Some are a little bit older, some a little bit older again. But when you reflect on your life, you think, well, what have I done? Have I just lived a life like the non-Christians have? Is my life any different from a good non-Christian? And by a good non-Christian, I mean someone who has some decent values and decent morals, decent values, and they love their family, love their kids. But as a Christian, is my life any different? Is the only defining thing different is that I come to church? Is the only thing defining different is that I pray and I read my Bible in the morning? Is that the only thing that is different within our life? Because it's got to be far much more than that. We have salvation, number one. Praise God, we've slam dunked that. We've got eternal life. Praise God, we've got that. We've got a relationship with our Father in heaven. How amazing and how awesome is that? But what about making a difference, an eternal difference? And look at your own life and reflect back and say, what difference have I made in my life to this point in eternity? How have I influenced eternity in the lives of other people? Now, you probably have done that in ways already that you're probably not even aware of. And I'm not saying that no one's done that. I'm sure we all have, and we've all done that. And you've actually influenced people. In fact, you even being here today, you're actually doing something that you're probably not even aware of. I'll talk about that in a moment. We've done that. We've probably done many things that we're not even aware of, influenced people for eternity in ways that we haven't comprehended. But there's certain things that God has intended for each and every one of us, a difference that God wants us to make. And some of us haven't even really started on that journey. Some of us haven't really started on that. There's so much more that God wants for you. He wants you to be a firebrand, wants you to be on fire, wants you to make a difference. I want you to turn to your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to talk briefly about this verse. The background of this verse is there was a... an offering being taken up for the church in Jerusalem. Now you think, well, the Jerusalem church would be pretty big. It was quite large. It had over 50,000 people in that one church in Jerusalem. Quite a big church, but that they were in a situation of dire poverty amongst the people there. They'd seen famines through there in Jerusalem, wars, they'd been persecuted, and a lot of property confiscated, a lot of things. And so the people in Jerusalem were struggling. Financially, they were really struggling. And so a call went out and said, look, let's alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters. It'd be like us doing something for Tagum's, for people in Tagum, the poverty and those people that they're ministering to, the people on the streets and people living in dire situations. It'd be like us doing something for them. And so a call went out and for the people, and particularly here in the church in Corinth. Corinth was like the capital of Achaia. It was the more southern region of Greece, and it was a very, very wealthy church, very, very wealthy church. There was the churches that were a little bit further up in Macedonia. We had Philippi, Berea, and other churches, and they were the poorer churches, if you like. And actually, in the whole passage, if you read chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul actually is contrasting, well, these poor churches are doing something. What about you guys? You're actually a rich church in comparison. You know, what are we doing? But he talks about something in this verse I want to really have a look at. Because remember the three things of a firebrand, and I see that he's putting this on and putting this onto this church in Corinth. Three things I said: someone is passionate about a cause, you're passionate about it, you incite something in other people, and then there's radical action that follows. And we see these things, this little formula, if you like, in this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. And so Paul's talking to them. He already, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 earlier, they talked about getting together an offering. Well, here's the time now we're actually getting this together. But he says in 2 Corinthians 9, 2, "For I know your eagerness to help. And I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, to those churches further out." The guy in Corinthians, we talked about an offering. That we're there. Our hearts are there. Yep, no ifs or buts, they're there. And so he was boasting about their readiness, their heart, telling them that since last year in Achaia, we're ready to give. And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. And I want to talk about that. So they were telling them that since last year you were ready to give, your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. And so that we see the three things here. We see that these people are actually very passionate. They're passionate for God, they're passionate for his kingdom, and they saw their fellow brothers and sisters who were in a dire situation compared to them. The poverty and the stress they're under, the severe persecution that they were suffering, famines that had come through, left people destitute. And they had a heart for the people of God. They had a heart for God and a heart for his people. And so there was a desire for them to do that. And if we want to be a firebrand, one of the first things that has to start with us is there has to be that desire, that heart for us to be positioned for that. Now, we had that prophetic word spoken over the church about us positioning ourselves over this 30 days of fire that we're having about being positioned, coming up higher into the spirit realm so that we're ready for all that God is going to do and what he wants to do. And so there's a positioning that we have to have. And certainly these church people, they positioned themselves, they were ready. I want to ask you, how have you positioned yourself over this 30 days of fire? What have you done differently over the last 30 days? Now we're about 19, 20 days into it. Maybe 21 now. Into this, how far, what have you done differently? What's different now in your life over this time? And some of you go, oh, well, you know, I've actually been fasting and I've been really praying, and I praise God for that. You've done something. And some might be saying, well, okay, well, look, I've actually been really, you know, really looking for opportunities to reach out and I've been stepping out of faith and laying hands on people and praying. But some of you go, I haven't done really anything much different at all. In fact, if I think about it, over this time, I really haven't changed anything within my life. And if that's you, can I encourage you to position yourself for what God wants to do? If you truly want to make a difference in this life for eternity and infect other people, then maybe there's some things you need to change. It's all good to go rah, 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 30 days, this is fantastic, and yes, yes, yes. But if nothing changes, you don't position yourself, then nothing changes. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you want something deeper to change within your spirit, then maybe there's some adjustments, changes that we need to make in our own life. We need to position ourselves. And that's certainly very important for us to do. The people did that. They prepared themselves. They wanted to do something, a wonderful blessing, a wonderful miracle of provision, which was life-changing for those people in Jerusalem. And so they got themselves ready. The words there about getting yourself ready there, being ready to give, it says that they were had a forward disposition, a readiness of mind, a preparedness. They were ready. They were passionate. It says there that we're ready to give and your enthusiasm. So they were ready. They had an enthusiasm. Again, the word zelos or zeal is where we get from that. And it talks about that fire. It's like water that is boiling or where you've got metal that is glowing, burning hot. That's what we're talking about, us being on fire for God. And they were like that. They had the zeal within their heart. They were on fire for God. And they had such a heart within them. And they were ready. They were positioned. They got themselves ready. And we can get ourselves ready for what God wants to do. Or we can stay in mediocrity. We can be on fire for God. Or we can be lukewarm. Or we can be cold. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be on fire for God. And if I want to position myself, then one of the most important things I need to do is to be spending time in prayer, praying before the Lord with all my heart, allowing Him to open my eyes to the realm of the Spirit, the possibilities of God, understanding who He is, but understanding more and more who I am. And I'll discover that in prayer. And as I get into the Word of God, I have that revelation of who I am and who God is. And then I'm able to realize, hang on, I am actually called to make a difference in this world. I can position myself in that way. It's so important that we do that, to lift ourselves, elevate ourselves up. But if you're not doing that, and you think, Jim, my life's just the same. Surprise, it will be. If you don't lift yourself up and discipline ourselves and we just lift ourselves up in prayer, then nothing's going to change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. That's not very profound, is it? But it's true. If you're not changing, you're not growing in God, you're not pouring yourself into the things of God, your life will not change and you will not make a difference. You will need to position ourselves. One of the important part of positioning ourselves is actually coming together corporately. Corporately in prayer, corporately gathering together in worship. Hebrews 10:25, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. A habit is something that you do repeatedly. Not once, but a habit. Once, one occasion is not a habit. But two or three or four, you're now in a habit. You formed a habit. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I tell you what, you read the Bible about the end times. It talks about wars and rumors of wars. It talks about natural disasters, about all these things. Man, we've got them happening. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know whether He's coming back tomorrow. I don't know whether He's coming back at 11:30. I don't know whether He's coming back in a year, 5, 10, 20, 50. I have no idea when He's coming back. But all I know is that I'm supposed to be ready for when He comes back. And certainly the signs of the things that we see in this world is, man, I think we better get ourselves ready. We better start positioning ourselves, because we might think, and you young people, you might think, well, I'm only 16, I'm 17, I'm 18, I'm 15, I'm 14. I've got the rest of my life to make a difference. How long is your life going to be? I have no idea. You may live to 85, you may live to 90. The Lord may come back before then. He might come back and you might suddenly think, oh, hang on, I thought I had, you know, 60, 70, 80 years to do something of significance in my life. But, oh, hang on, Lord comes back in 5 years. I better get going, even though I'm a young person. Don't wait until you're old. I think, oh, when I'm older, then God can start to use me. He wants to use you now as a young person. Doesn't matter how old we are. We don't know how long our life's going to be. We don't know how much time we've got. And yet we want to make an eternal difference in that time. And so we need to be on fire. We need to position ourselves. Coming together is so important. Don't neglect that. It's important that we gather together, that the Spirit of God touches you and touches every heart, touches me. But we're going to read in just a moment how the difference that you actually make by being there. And again, you have affected people. You might think, well, Jesus, I don't think I've done anything. Well, you actually have, because you showed up. It actually does do something. It actually imparts something. We'll see that in just a moment. We've got to position ourselves. If you want to make a difference in this world, if you really want to be on fire, something needs to change. And there's something, and we think, well, Lord, come Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is being poured upon us, but we want to be positioned and ready to receive everything that God is doing. And that depends on us. It depends upon us. It depends upon you. It depends upon me. It depends upon us positioning ourselves. It depends about putting ourselves aside and changing some things in our life. If you want to make a change and make a difference, then we need to make some changes within our own heart and our own lives. Amen? Amen. And so this church, who were ready, that they had that thinking, that their mind was ready. They were ready to do what God called them to do. They were positioned. They were ready. And God wants us to be ready, because there's people's lives that God wants you to affect for eternity. And he wants you to be ready for that time. He wants me to be ready. He wants us to be ready to be that glowing, white-hot people that are zealous for God, passionate for God, passionate for his kingdom, have a heart for God, have a heart for people. That's what it is to be on fire, to be a firebrand. That's the first part of that, is to be on fire and to position ourselves. If you're not on fire, if you're honest with yourself and you say, man, I'm probably cold, or maybe I'm lukewarm, but am I fully on fire? Because you'll know whether you're on fire or not, because there's actually an outworking. The thing about a firebrand is that you actually, there's something that's spreading out of our hearts. It says that your enthusiasm or zeal has stirred. And there's something about that. There's something about that when we're on fire for God, it actually touches other people's lives. It actually imparts something into it. It actually ignites something within other people's lives when we are on fire for God. And certainly as a church, they did this. They actually, one church actually ignited in another church. It actually stirred something. And what is a church? Is a church a building? No, it wasn't the building. One building was on fire and the other building next door on fire. No, it's the people of God who are on fire, and something in them ignited something in the people in this church far away in Macedonia. The Macedonian churches that were up further north, it excited something in them that they could then bless the people in Jerusalem that were in a dire need at that time. And so when we're on fire for God, if you're that firebrand, it's going to affect other people's lives. It touches other people's hearts, and it's so important that is our heart in doing that. The word there where it says about it's stirred, it says stirred in the NIV, and others it says incited or provoked, and provoked not in a negative sense, but provoke in a positive sense. It means to stir up, to excite, stimulate, to provoke. And there's something about that when we're on fire, that we stir up something in other people, we excite something, we provoke something in other people. And certainly as believers, and these were believers who are actually doing that to other believers, but certainly then to unbelievers, those people that are around us, that if we're a firebrand, something's going to have to touch their life. Something's going to have to touch their life. Because if not you, then who? We need to do that. We need to touch people's lives. Now, there is something about us coming together. Don't neglect that. Paul's not saying that as a legalistic thing. Don't give up meeting together, because some have got the bad habit of doing that. Encourage one another all the more, because he knows how that when you're here, that firebrand that you have, actually you being there, your worship, your heart, your passion for God, it just ignites something in my own spirit. I get excited when I see people of God worshiping, crying out to God with all their heart, but people that are full on for God. It stirs something in my own heart, it lifts me up. I'm encouraged by that. And I'm sure you're encouraged by that. You see a young person praising God and loving God. Are you not stirred by that? Are you not stimulated, excited by that? Does not the fire of God get brighter when you see that, when you see other people that are full on for God? And so you coming and being a part of that, you're actually building something and imparting. And so you're faithful in your coming. Not says don't neglect meeting together. It's not just because Paul wanted plenty of numbers there, but he says, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching, the day's approaching. And so that fire in you, let that stir up the fire in someone else. Let them touch their heart. Paul goes on and talks about that. He says in Romans 1, 11 and 12, he says to the Romans, writing in Romans, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Now, we talk about firebrands. Paul was probably one of the most incredible examples of a firebrand. The Apostle Paul, who was on fire, in his persecuting, putting people in jail, killing Christians. No one could doubt the passion of Paul. He was zealous, all right. But then he has this turn and encounters Jesus. And Jesus says to him, Paul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? He goes, oh, sorry, God, I thought I was doing it for you. And so he turns his life around. And he's an incredible firebrand. The apostle Paul does an incredible thing. All the apostles were really firebrands, the things that they did and had a heart. And there's many others, reformers in church, many people that are firebrands, and we're all called to be a firebrand to make a difference. And so Paul himself is here, says, who, and if Paul, you think, Paul, if ever there was a firebrand, if anyone was on fire, Paul, you're it, you're the man, you're it. And so, Paul, you're on fire. But Paul says to the people in the church, the normal everyday people in the church, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift and make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And so the faith of these believers was actually doing something for Paul. Paul, who was already this mighty firebrand, but the normal believers in the church who were on fire for God, were passionate, actually did something, built him up. And never underestimate what we do for one another. Never underestimate what your faith does. Never underestimate what you do when you're here. When you're on fire for God, when you're worshiping, don't underestimate it. And do not underestimate what is missing when you're not here. Don't underestimate what the church, what the body of believers, what I'm being robbed of, what your brother and sister, you are robbing them of when you're not here. You're robbing them of that fire that would help ignite them, because you bring something that would help stir something in your heart. And if you just have that home in bed watching TV or off at a picnic or a barbecue or doing something else, we're missing that fire. We're missing that. It's not just because Paul wanted to have the numbers there. Paul was saying, encourage one another all the day, because you're a firebrand. And Paul needed that encouragement. I need your encouragement. You need your brothers and sisters in encouragement. We need one another if we're going to be on fire. And we impart that to one another. We stir that up. Never, never underestimate how important it is. Never underestimate how important you are to the body of Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're a vital part of the body of Christ. Never underestimate it. Never underestimate it. Don't rob your brothers and sisters of the fire that's in you that you can help ignite others. Now, you may be sitting there saying, well, problem for me is I'm lukewarm or I'm cold or I'm just a wet blanket. Blop, blop. And that's you. Well, then, if you like that, then come and be among the people of God and let those that are in fire ignite your spirit, ignite your heart. Then you can actually go and make a difference in the rest of your week from Monday to Friday. Because, look, church, some people have this idea of churches that we come there, we get a big fill up of our tank on Sunday and I'm all full up, and then I go through the week and then I'm going there and I'm pretty bubbly on Monday. By the end of the week, and then I'm at church and I get this top up. That's absolute nonsense. That's nonsense. That's not what church is. If you're dead and spiritually, or if you're cold, maybe you'll come and warm yourself by the fire a little bit on a Sunday. But that's not Christian life. That's not how we're made to be. We're made to be on fire for God in our own life, our daily life, our prayer life. We're full of the Spirit of God. When we come together, there's this massive flame. You put one, have you ever seen a big bonfire? You get a little stick, and I look at my little stick. You put them all together, you get this massive bonfire. That's what we are when we gather together, a spiritual powerhouse in the kingdom of God who makes difference and makes a difference in each other's life. And so let's not neglect that. We impart this church. They stirred something in another church. You stir that in other believers. You stir something within their heart. That's making a difference. We want to do that. We want to stir each other's hearts. 2 Corinthians 7:13, he says, by this we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we're especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Titus was, he's another apostle. He's a great man, a powerful man of God. But Titus was, he's hanging out with these Christians, and he comes back to Paul and he says, man, what did you guys do to Titus? He was a mighty apostle. He's a great leader within the church. But he came back and he was with you guys, and man, something happened. Well, that's what it's like when we come to church, when you are on fire for God, what we do for one another. But if we come as wet towels and just plop, 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 it ain't going to do nothing, is it? But we want to be on fire for God and that we ignite that. And so Timothy, he was so blessed. Titus, this mighty man of God, he was so blessed by the church there when they came back. And so Paul's writing to Corinthians saying, you guys, whatever you did to Titus, fantastic. You stirred him up. And that's what we're called to do, to ignite one another. And if you're not igniting other people, then you need to change something within your life. If we're not on fire for God, we need to change something within our life. We're called to make a difference. And you got your food, you got your water, you got your shelter, and you've given your life to Christ, so you feel loved, you feel accepted, you belong. But making a difference. Are you making a difference? Firebrands make a difference. And you don't know how long you've got to make a difference. So you better start now. We need to start now. Don't think, well, when I'm older, I will. You know, when I've grown up, when I got married, when I kids, or when my kids are growing up, and then when I've retired, or when I... You don't know how long you got. Let's be firebrands now. See, the thing about a firebrand, it's one thing to be on fire for God, loving God and just loving God. And you come to church and worship, your hands are up there and praising God and loving God and maybe encouraging people. But it's even more than that. Firebrand is far even more than that. There's something that more than that. And that's certainly what happened here. Because if we're really on fire for God, then there's action that actually follows. And certainly that's what happened to the church. It says, in Achaia, you were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. It's interesting, it says most of them, not all of them. And unfortunately, as a pastor, I know that I can talk about being on fire, and not everyone will want to be. Not everyone will be. That's heartbreaking for me. Imagine what it is for God when he sees people who really, at the end of the day, no, I don't want to be on fire. I'll just go for mediocrity. I'll just go to my work and I'll just live my life like everyone else. I'm a good person. I'll come to church. And I find that really disturbing and distressing. I don't know how my Father in heaven feels about that, with people who just don't want to be on fire. It's heart-wrenching, and how that must feel to God when people just want to live in mediocrity. It's very, very sad. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If we're on fire for God and we're going to be a firebrand, then there's action. There needs to be some action. It's not enough to just to live like you've always lived. It's not enough. And as I said, you don't know how long time you've got. You know, we've got Pastor Andrew, great to see him in the back there, but he could have been dead 3 or 4 weeks ago. And praise God he's here. But any of us, we don't know how long we've got. And we want to make a difference in the time that we have. There's action that's required. And one of the things is that determines whether you're really on fire for God or not is your action. Easy to say a whole lot of stuff. Easy to say a whole lot of stuff, but it's actions that really speak loudly. 2 Corinthians 8:22. And this is interesting, this little passage. It says, in addition, so what they're doing is they're taking up this offering, and they want to make sure that it's done right, okay? Because they say, look, we're doing pains to do not only do the right thing before God, but we want to be seen to do the right thing. And that's why integrity and openness and transparency is so important. We know we're doing the right thing, but we've got to be seen to be doing the right thing. And so Paul was a stickler about that kind of thing. And so he had arranged for Titus to go and accompany this, to take this offering that was being collected. But also it says, and also they chose another brother. There was a brother that was chosen among the people. So Titus and this brother that the people, like representing them, who were going to take the offering, they were chosen. But in addition to that, so there's actually another brother. Okay, so there's another brother that are actually going along. And so this is this another brother. 2 Corinthians 8:22. In addition, we are sending with them, so that's with Titus and this other brother, our brother who has proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and even more so because of his great confidence in you. There was something about the proving of the zeal that was upon his heart. It was actually made a difference, actually did something with that. And that was the proof for him that of this brother. They trusted this brother because we can see that this guy's on fire because we're seeing what he's doing. we actually see some action in his life. And so a firebrand has to have action. It's one thing that we're on fire for God and maybe we can stir up other people, but there needs to be action coming forth in our own hearts, in our own lives. And 2 Corinthians 8:11, and this is what he's talking to them about this offering, saying, you guys are all so excited about this offering. You were so eager. Yep, we're in it. We're going to do this. We're going to take up this offering. But then the proof comes of putting, well, what are you actually going to do? And so 2 Corinthians 8:11, he says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Finish the work. Do it. Actually do something. It's important that we actually do something. See, if there's a passion that is inside of us, we need to pass that on. Pass passion, P-A-S-S, pass I, me, on. Pass I on, pass something on. We need to actually do that. We need to start something to ignite something in other people's lives. And you've got people surrounding you at work and in your neighborhood. We've got people all around us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's great that we come and we can ignite that fire. We're on fire for God in one another and encourage that in other believers. Again, please never underestimate the importance of you doing that and being that and being a part of that. But there's people out there who are dead, who are spiritually dead. And we don't know when they're going to die. You don't know when your relatives are going to die. You don't know when your neighbors are going to die, your workmates. You rock up every day. Your school friends, oh, look, they're young. We're going to live forever. When you're young, everyone's going to, when you're young, once someone's 40, you're just about, building them a coffin. You think you're going to live forever when you're 18 or 14 or 15 or 20 or whatever. You feel like you're going to live forever. You don't know that. You don't know how long you're going to live, but you're called to make a difference. God has purposed that we make a difference in this world. And so we need to position ourselves if we're going to do that. And I encourage you to get on fire. We've got prayer meetings and things, corporate prayer meetings. Don't neglect them. Very important. So maybe that's something you can do in your own prayer life. Are you following this through? Are you following that? Or did you just get that thing? Oh, gee whiz, that's good. Like the colors, that's nice. Or are you actually doing something in your life? Have you changed something within your own life? If you don't change anything, then nothing will change. Are you doing something different? If you're elevating yourself, positioning yourself, great, you're coming to church and you're not in the habit of doing that, then start. That's a good place to start. Start going to church. Great, fantastic. But in our own life, just praying and crying out to God, we position ourselves and then we impart into one another. But we've got to touch this world. The Lord's heart aches for this world around us. We just walk around oblivious to sometimes. I'm just as guilty as all of us at times. I can just be just as oblivious of anyone. And God wants to change something within our own hearts. We are so hungry for people's souls that we don't want to see anyone perish. Because you don't know when they're going to die. And once they die, we can pray for them as much as we like. It makes no difference. They're gone. They're gone. They've got this life to find the Lord. And so we want to do what we can and everything that we can. We want to make a difference for eternity. So when you're in heaven, you're going to be greeted by all of the people that are in heaven because of you. Because your flaming torch of the fire of God touched their life. And when you get to heaven and the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant, these people run, I just want to give you a hug. Thank you so much. You set my life on fire. And that's how we want to be. We don't want to be ones that is just like we just scrape through. We're called to make a difference. Make a difference. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You've got time. You've got today. You've got tomorrow. I don't know if you've got beyond that. I have no idea. But in the time that we have, let's make a difference. If we're not positioning ourselves, let's do that now. Let's do that. Make a change. If you want to make a change, to be a change. If you don't make any changes, you're not going to make any changes. You're not going to have any impact. And I believe God is the cry of God's heart. We can do, have a whole year of on fire, and you get to the end of this year, and you're the same old person. Nothing's changed. And that would be heart-wrenchingly agonizing for me to see that, but your Father in heaven, how heartbreaking that would be that you spent a whole year talking about being on fire and you're the same person at the end of the year. We got 30 days of fire, an opportunity for concentrated time, and yet 30 days come and go and you're the same person. What a tragedy that would be. And so we need to change our hearts, align our hearts and say, Lord, I really want to be on fire. I don't want it mediocrity. I'm not settling for that. I'm not lukewarm, Lord. And I'm not cold. I definitely don't want to be cold. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire. And so if we need to change some things, change some things. We need to adjust some things, adjust some things. I believe God really wants to challenge us and stir us. We're called to be firebrands. to make a difference for eternity, every one of us. Look, that's the deep desire. If you're honest with yourself, and you may be doing really well in your work, you may be doing really well at school, you may be doing really well, there's going to be a deeper need in there, because if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that need will be there to make a difference. It'll be stronger than normal, stronger than people who like to do nice things to people. There'll be, I want to do something that impacts eternity. There'll be that cry in your heart. And I want to pray for us, but I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I want those people, I just felt that those who actually have been to the prayer meetings, we've had a couple of weeks of prayer meetings, 2.5-3 weeks of prayer meetings. If you've been to one of the corporate prayer meetings that we've had over the 30 days of fire, I want you to come and stand along the front. I want you to face the people. So if you've been to one of those prayer meetings that we've had over the last 3 weeks, so that's either the Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday night, or the Sunday afternoon in Digger's Rest, I want you to come, but I want you to stand and face the people in a line, because you're going to stretch out your hands, and I'm going to ask us to all pray over those. So if you've been one of those prayer meetings, I really want us to pray and let the fire from these guys and our hearts just to really ignite every one of us. Now, there's reasons why we haven't been to different things, and this is not to make a show, and it's not to condemn anyone. But the bottom line is we need to make a change. I'd love to have a prayer meeting where we have to move it out of there because, man, the whole church is here. We're hungry for God. Now, some are going to be working and some have got kids and all those things. Yep, that's fine. But let's be a people that are on fire for God. Let's change something, guys. Let's be on fire. Let's allow the Spirit of God to so invade our hearts that we're going to be firebrands that make a difference for eternity. So let's stand to our feet. The ones that are at the front, I just want you to raise your right hand out across the people there. I'm just going to pray a prayer. And this prayer, I'm praying not just for those who are in the seats. I'm praying this prayer for me. I'm praying it for every person that's at the front, and I'm praying it for every one of us. And so, Father, we just stand now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know, Lord, that the cry of your heart, Lord, the cry of heaven is, Lord, that you long for people, Lord, that are on firebrands, that are on fire for you. Lord, the cry of heaven is that you want to see people that are so on fire, so impassioned, so zealous for you. Lord, that they don't live for their own comfort, their own satisfaction. Lord, not living for our own needs and wants and desires, but, Father, that are so consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we're passionate for you and for your kingdom, Lord. And I speak that and prophesy that over our church, that we'll be known as a church that is on fire. A people that are on fire, that the power of the Holy Spirit is so strong within our hearts, Lord, that we're sensitive to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we're positioned in the right place, Lord, ready at the right time, Father, Lord, that we're ready, we have that forward thinking, Lord, that readiness of mind, Father, that we are ready for whatever you call us to do, Lord, that we position ourselves, we come up so much higher, Lord, that we're not satisfied with where we are, Lord, we're not satisfied with mediocrity, we're not satisfied with the same, Father, Lord. You want to release a new dimension of your Spirit upon us, Father. You want us to go up higher. And Father, I pray, Lord, that each of us, Lord, will be so on fire for you, Lord, that we'll impart your life into all those people around us, Father, that we'll ignite fires, Lord, of no people around us, Lord, those who know you and those who don't, Father. Lord, I pray that you cause every one of us to rise up, Father, that we will not be ones of mediocrity. Lord, we will not be lukewarm. We will not be calm. But Father, we stand and declare that we're going to be on fire for you. Father, the things that we need to change, give us the courage of our convictions to make change, Father. Lord, not good intentions that are there today and gone tomorrow, not emotional responses that are yesterday and no tomorrow. Father, we want to have a deep change deep within our spirit, Lord, that we align our hearts to you. And so, Father, we just open ourselves, Lord, that you pour your Spirit afresh upon us this day. Stir our hearts, Father. Stoke the fire, Father. Let your fire fall upon us afresh this day. And Father, that we are people that are impassioned for you. Lord, that we are on fire, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, stir our hearts, Father. Stir our hearts, Lord, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, let us be a people that are on fire, who make a difference, Father, that we make a difference, that we be everything that you've made us to be, Father. I declare that now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.